Well, praise the Lord. It's so good to be in his house this Sunday morning. Christ Mass, the title today, and the intent of the second S. Mass, not in the liturgical sense. And before the mind sets on a definition, a meaning, a description, or image, the word beyond the hyphen. Mass, quality or effect. Quality or effect, this word mass or massive, having an effect on. Having an effect on or involving a large number of people. This time of year inevitably comes. Christmas. And thank God for this time each year. And even naturally speaking, though there is much darkness in the world, Christmas brings with it an illumination, a lighting. The lights and sights and sounds of Christmas, the fragrances, the aromas, the ornamentation, the very feel in the air. What is Christmas without Christ? What is Christmas without this light? What is Christmas without his song? What is Christmas without his cry? What is Christmas without the fragrance of God's Son? What is Christmas without the ornamentation of the saving one? What is Christmas without this feeling in the air? It's Christmas of despair. The world heralds holidays. The world heralds feasting. The world heralds parties. The world heralds drinking. The world heralds Santa. The world heralds shopping. The world heralds presents. The world heralds stockings. The days of Christmas and the eve and the morning. But if this is where it begins and ends, if this be all, do you see what I see? And do you hear what I hear? The tragedy of Christmas without Christ. It's not what it should be, and it's not what it could be. From the writings of the Reverend Billy Graham, in the midst of all upheaval, crisis, difficulty, problems, and fear, comes the true message of Christmas with all its hope, goodwill, and cheer. The message of Christmas has been terribly misapplied and misunderstood for many years. Some think of business profits, shopping, gifts, tinsel, toys, and celebration. Others think only of Bethlehem, of the star in the sky, shepherds in the field, and angels singing. Still others cynically ask, where is the Prince of Peace in a world filled with so much trouble? The real Christmas message goes far deeper. It heralds the entrance of God into human history. It is heaven descending to earth. It is as though a trumpeter had taken his stand upon the turrets of time and announced to a despairing, hopeless, and frustrated world the coming of the Prince of Peace. It answers all the great questions that plague the human race at this hour. The Christmas message is relevant, revolutionary, and reassuring to us today. I believe it can be summed up in three words: a cradle, a cross, and a crown. On that first Christmas night, the Bible tells us about the angel coming to those fearful shepherds and saying, "Fear not, I'll bring you good news." This is the true meaning of Christmas: the good news that God sent his only Son to earth to save people from their sins. Christmas is not a myth, not a tradition, not a dream. It is a glorious reality. Christmas without Christ, what a tragedy. Tragic. And even if the world or our world was seemingly void of upheaval, crisis, difficulties, problems, fears, even if joy and laughter and kindness and love play present, and yet for many and so many, Christmas is just a happy holiday. But oh, for the Christian, Christmas is about more and so much more than cards and gifts and the smell of pine and the crackling of a fireplace and the taste of Christmas lore and the decorations score. For us, there is no Christmas without Christ. There simply is no Christmas without our beloved Jesus. Luke chapter 2, we pick it up at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, in a feed trough. And can't you see? Feed on the bread of life. She laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Good tidings. Good tidings of great joy for all people. People of every nation, tribe, and tongue. If we all need saving, and we all do, what greater tidings, what greater gift? If we all need saving, and we all do, we all need saving, we all need that baby, that child, that holy infant so tender and mild. How can we sleep in heavenly peace without him? Without knowing him, without having him as our Lord and Savior, without having received him into our hearts. Oh, to hear and to feel the power of the declaration, to be arrested by the announcement of the angels, "For unto us there is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Corrie ten Boom said, "Who can add to Christmas? The perfect motive is that God so loved the world. The perfect gift is that he gave his only son. The only requirement is to believe in him. The reward of faith is that you shall have everlasting life. Lord, for an awakening, that the nativity sets and scenes that still grace our world wake the lost, that every set of mortal eyes see the sign that was and the sign that is. This sign, this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. You know, the sign is still present in our world. And thank God it is. C.S. Lewis said, once in our world, a stable had something in it that was bigger than our whole world. Martin Luther, good news from heaven the angels bring. Glad tidings to earth they sing. To us this day a child is given to crown us with the joy of heaven. Oh, the advantage of Christmas with Christ, the benefit, the blessing, the gain, the fortune, the favor, the happiness, the joy, the profit, the success, the boon, the health, the victory, the hope, the peace, the assurance, the mystery. John Huss said, rejoice that the immortal God is born so that mortal men may live in eternity. And these words, so God throws open the door of this world and enters as a baby, as the most vulnerable imaginable, because he wants unimaginable intimacy with you. What religion ever had a God that wanted such intimacy with us that he came with such vulnerability to us? What God ever came so tender we could touch him, so fragile that we could break him, so vulnerable that his bare beating heart could be hurt? Only one. Only the one who loves you to death. J.I. Packer said, the Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless human baby, needing to be fed and changed and taught to talk like any other child. The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. Nothing in fiction is so fantastic as this truth of the incarnation. Matthew chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men, magi, from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. When you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the child. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Still seeking to destroy him. Replace Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas with holidays. Get rid of the centerpiece of the nativity. Put to death the incarnation. Get the blue-collar crowd and the wise crowd too distanced from divinity. Cancel culture? I'd sooner cancel the culture. You know, I sat in a school gym not too long ago and I was so encouraged by a principal in a public school in our city that addressed the crowd saying, Merry Christmas. We still say that around here. Merry Christmas. And they even sang proper songs, carols of the Christ. Christmas without Christ? What a tragedy. Herod, there's nothing heroic about you. Herod of the time. Herod of the times. The Herod of this time, these times, is still trying to kill the Christ child. But it won't happen. Truth shall prevail. And the church of incarnation will go on celebrating the birth of the Lord and Savior world without end. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. Or with us is God. Symbolic and prophetic, this name of the Messiah, the Christ, prophesying that he would be born of a virgin and would be God with us. The name of the Son who should be born of the virgin, and it designates him as being truly God over all, blessed forever. Emmanuel, God with us. These words, this glorious word, Emmanuel, means first that God in Christ is with us in very near association. The Greek particle here used is very forcible and expresses the strongest form of with. It is not merely in company with us, as another Greek word would signify, but with, together with, and sharing with. This preposition is a close rivet, a firm bond implying, if not declaring, close fellowship. God, God with us, closely with us. Isaiah 9, 6-7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful. Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah 45, 17. Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Still seeking to destroy him, and he is still seeking, ever seeking to restore them. C.S. Lewis said, the Son of God became man to enable men to become sons of God. Yes, preacher, the very purpose of Christ coming into the world was that he might offer up his life as a sacrifice for the sins of men. He came to die. This is the heart of Christmas. What of the clause? Old Saint Nick is Saint Nicholas Zamora, a bishop, a 4th century Christian bishop considered the real life model for the clause. This world has its image. This world has its image now. Its imagery. It's imaginary. These words attributed to the man, the giver of every good and perfect gift, has called upon us to mimic God's giving by grace through faith, and this is not of ourselves. He said, "Children, I beseech you to correct your hearts and thoughts so that you may be pleasing to God. Consider that although we may reckon ourselves to be righteous and frequently succeed in deceiving men, we can conceal nothing from God. Let us therefore strive to preserve the holiness of our souls and to guard the purity of our bodies with all fervor. Ye are the temple of God," says the divine apostle Paul. "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy." I don't know about you, but that's my kind of Santa. That's my kind of saint. Imagine if every child that sat on the knee of the dress-up man this Christmas season was told of the giver of every good and perfect gift. He knows the naughty. He knows the nice. Nothing's concealed. Naughty and nice, both groups on his list. He is willing that none perish. And Jesus is wanting no one to perish. They're on the knee, and then on their knees. Imagine if they were told of sin. Imagine if they were told of grace, the good news, the gospel of Christ. If they were given the gift that should top every list. If they decided to correct their hearts and thoughts, to be pleasing to God, if they would receive Jesus, and if they would follow Jesus, if they would then strive to preserve the holiness of their souls and guard the purity of their bodies with all fervor, if they were awakened to the reality that they were a temple of God, that they were the very temple of God. You see, other lists are nice and fine, but in comparison to the gift of the good news, the gospel, Jesus, salvation, they really are lumps of coal. My kind of saint, my kind of Santa, this clause. And what of the clause? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting light, everlasting life." For God so loved, whoever believes, for God so loved, should not perish. The Wycliffe Bible reads, "For God loved so the world, forsooth, God so loved the world that he gave his one begotten Son, that each man that believeth in him perish not, but have everlasting life." The Amplified, "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave his one and only begotten Son, so that whoever believes and trusts in him as Savior shall not perish, but have eternal life." And the Message paraphrase reads, "This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him." You know, you can be given a gift, but you have to receive it, and you must open it. You must take it to yourself, receive it as your own. And this gift is most precious, most costly, greatly to be treasured. How incredible this gift of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift, that is the free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Free gift. What a cost. What a price. Yes, let us rejoice that the immortal God is born, so that mortal men may live in eternity. What of glitz and glam? These words, the great challenge left to us is to cut through all the glitz and glam of the season that has grown increasingly secular and commercial, and be reminded of the beauty of the one who is Christmas. Perhaps it's a simple reminder here that if the glitz and glam has grown so, if the season has become increasingly secular, if the season has become increasingly commercial, if it has, and if it is. A cradle, a cross, and a crown. He's known them all. Jesus, Messiah, the holy infant, so tender and mild, the innocent ransom, mocked and reviled in a crown of thorns for the Lamb, without blemish, nailed to a cross for the sins of all people. Then on the third, risen and ascended, and the King is crowned, seated in heaven. A cradle for the Christ, a cradle for Jesus. And we had our cradle. A cross for the Christ, a cross for Jesus. And will we have his cross? And will we have our cross? Will we take up our cross and follow him? Matthew 10:38, he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Matthew 16:24-27, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Luke 14:27, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What do you want for Christmas? What do you need? What of your list? What of dropped hints? There is only one gift that can settle the score. Only one gift that can save the soul. Only one gift that can silence the grave. There's only one gift we all really need. The greatest gift of all, the greatest gift of all is Jesus Christ. John 3:14-19, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up. The Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. Light come into the world. The light has come. His name is Jesus. He came to save us. Light of the world is freedom in his name. The light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. And men loved darkness rather than light. You see, all the natural lights of Christmas don't expose. John 3:19-20, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Is that why they're trying to rid the world of nativity scenes? Of Jesus? Of the Christ? Of the infant asleep on the hay? And some don't want carols that sing of the Son of God's radiant display. The Wycliffe Bible, and this is the doom, for light came into the world and men loved more darkness than light, for their works were evil. The Voice translation, why does God allow for judgment and condemnation? Because the light sent from God pierced through the world's darkness to expose ill motives, hatred, gossip, greed, violence, and the like. Still, some people preferred the darkness over the light because their actions were dark. Some of humankind hated the light. They scampered hurriedly back into the darkness where vices thrive and wickedness flourishes. The Message paraphrase, this is the crisis we're in. The crisis demands. God light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the darkness. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and illusion, hates God light and won't come near it, fearing a painful exposure. It's a dark Christmas without Christ. Thank God for those who have been exposed, and thank God for those that have come to the light, and thank God that there will be a coming this Christmas. That there is a coming this Christmas, because the message will go on. The singing will endure. The scenes that hold the sun will continue in this world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has never been able to put out the light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The light thrives. A light that thrives in the depths of darkness, blazes through murky bottoms. It cannot and will not be quenched. The announcement of the Christ, the conception of the Christ, the coming of the Christ, the incarnation of the Christ, the living of the Christ, the ministry of the Christ, the surrender and the chastening of the Christ, the crucifixion of the Christ, the it is finished of the Christ, the tomb of the Christ and the resurrection of the Christ, the appearance of the Christ and the ascension of the Christ, and the King is coming. Oh, he came and he's returned to his holy abode in the sky, but there's a day coming. He's surely coming. Can you feel it too? And until that day, the King is shining and the King is calling. We've heard his call. We've answered his call. And he's calling out to souls right now. He's calling out to you right now. Mass effect. Massive effect. Mass gathering. Mass rescue. Mass promise, mass hope. The King in a cradle. A King in a cradle. You know, all kings have known the cradle. the king on a cross. Not all kings know the cross. The king resurrected. Not all kings know resurrection life. And not all little K kings will know resurrection life. Resurrection life in this life, and at the end of this life, there be only two destinations, heaven or hell. Put that in your stocking. There will be a resurrection and an ascension for us, for all who believe, for all who receive, for all who live for Him now and follow Him now. Mass effect on the soul, on life, on our world, on our loved ones, our friends, our home, our future, our eternity, and by God's grace on theirs. But we need the name on the left side of the hyphen. Christ. Jesus. Jesus the Christ. Further words, Billy Graham, but why did Jesus leave heaven's glory and come down to live amid earth's filth and corruption? He came for one reason, to save us from our sins. Over 2,000 years ago, on a night the world has come to call Christmas, a young Jewish maiden went through an experience countless mothers had before her and would since. She brought forth a child, but this was no ordinary child. This was the unique Son of God sent from heaven to save us from our sins, Matthew 2:11. Christmas should be a day when our minds go back to Bethlehem, beyond the noise of our materialistic world, to hear the soft flutter of angels' wings. God did not send His heavenly angelic hordes to accomplish His majestic purpose, but He sent a tiny, tender, helpless babe in the person of His Son. Just a few more thoughts today. For the heart of a child again. Has the heart grown cold, calloused? This is no way to live. This is no way to live this season or any season. Oh, for the heart of a child again. And for the Scrooge to live the meaning of his forename, his first name. Scrooge, a miserly person, mean, selfish. You know the old saying, bah humbug. An expression used when someone does not approve of or enjoy something that other people enjoy, especially a special occasion such as Christmas. You know, Scrooge, you have a first name, old chap, and you too. Young chap, Ebenezer, stone of help. It can happen. It's possible. All things are possible. The Scrooge can become a stone of help. And a joyous person, kind, selfless, generous, compassionate, loving, caring. It has happened. Scrooges have become Ebenezers, even in the world of unbelievers. It happens. But you know, a Scrooge turned Ebenezer isn't what they could be, isn't what they should be, isn't what they need be, if not by the power of Jesus Christ. There is, and there always will be, a great difference between an Ebenezer of the world and an Ebenezer of another world. Thank God there's hope, and thank God for every Scrooge that becomes Ebenezer, stone of help, because of the Ebenezer, stone of help, the ultimate stone of help. 1 Samuel 7, verse 12, reading from the Wycliffe, and he called the name of that place the stone of help, and he called the name of that place Ebenezer. And he said, hitherto the Lord hath helped us. a stone of help because of the stone of help. A stone of help because of the transforming power of the great Ebenezer. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's unchanging love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I am come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I am constrained to be. Let that grace now, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Just like Christ now, just like Jesus, a stone of help for the stone of help. These beautiful words, let us remember that the Christmas heart is a giving heart, a wide open heart that thinks of others first. The birth of the baby Jesus stands as the most significant event in all history because it has meant the pouring into a sick world of the healing medicine of love, which has transformed all manner of hearts for almost 2,000 years. Underneath all the bulging bundles is this beating Christmas heart. George MacDougall said, best of all, Christmas means a spirit of love, a time when the love of God and the love of our fellow men should prevail over all hatred and bitterness, a time when our thoughts and deeds and the spirit of our lives manifest the presence of God. We can have the worship team return today. And this Christmas cards, the smell of pine drifting through the house, the fireplace crackling, all of these things turn our thoughts to those we love. But often, it is a sad time for those who are alone, without close friends or family. We all should look for others to reach out to, especially at this time of year, and extend a hand of fellowship, a heart of love. This is what Jesus did for all mankind. He reached down from heaven by giving himself to us, a people in great need of a relationship with their God and Maker. It really is a special time of the year. Though for some, we know for some, Christmas is a trying time of year. The broken, the lonely, the downtrodden, the grieving, the chained, the bound, the wounded, and the bleeding, the less fortunate. Let us remember these and pray for these as we can. And as we can, let us extend the very compassion and kindness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You say, I have nothing to give. We can pray. Nothing to give? Well, Christmas is about receiving and giving. Give the gift of the true Christmas story, that God gave his Son so that mankind would receive him. Let's focus not on our own joys, but making others joyful. The greatest gift we can give others is to tell them about the most wonderful gift God has bestowed on the whole world. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And I pray that in its truest sense, it may begin to look a lot like Christmas. The words of Charles Spurgeon, this is a season when all men expect us to be joyous. We compliment each other with the desire that we may have a Merry Christmas. Some Christians are a little squeamish and do not like the word Merry. It is a right good old Saxon word, having the joy of childhood and the mirth of manhood in it. It brings before one's mind the old songs of the waits and the midnight peal of bells, the holly and the blazing log. I love it for its place in that most tender of all parables, where it is written that when the long-lost prodigal returned to his father safe and sound, they began to be merry. This is the season when we are expected to be happy, and my heart's desire is that in the highest and best sense, you who are believers may be merry. To every prodigal son and daughter, come home to the Father by way of his Son, the way, the truth, and the life, the path, the road. Come home this Christmas, that this Christmas be merry in perfect form and harmony. That most tender parable can be your parable. To God, the end read the same. We're all prodigals until we're home. Come home this Christmas. So beautiful these words. At this season, the world is engaged in congratulating itself and in expressing its complimentary wishes for the good of its citizens. Let me suggest extra and more solid work for Christians. As we think today of the birth of the Savior, let us aspire after a fresh birth of the Savior in our hearts, that as he has already formed in us the hope of glory, we may be renewed in the spirit of our minds, that we may go again to the Bethlehem of our spiritual nativity and do our first works, enjoy our first loves, and feast with Jesus as we did in the holy, happy, heavenly days of our espousals. Wishing you and yours the merriest of Christmases. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today.